to preserve our natural wonders, use the litter cans on your city sidewalks. Don't throw things into the Grand Canyon.
Well, that was from Bob and Ray, and speaking was either Bob or Ray. And now we have the final episode from Crazy Dog Audio Theater's Tread Softly, Bill Lizard. Now, the Crazy Dog Audio Theater website has fallen off the internet, but it is available on YouTube. Look for Tread Softly, Bill Lizard, and this is episode 5.
Tread Softly, Bill Lizard, by Roger Gregg. Episode 5, Disrupting the Eternal Patrick's Day Parade.
Tread softly.
I'm Bill Lizard, Private Eye, and I'm trapped in the bizarrest dimension the human imagination can possibly encounter. At least I've made a few friends. There was Searle, a giant puka in the shape of a rabbit, Gertie, a young streetwise punk, and now Billy, my feminine side, or clone. We're not normal, but nothing here is. And at least we're working together to find my phone, which can set us free from this place. But now we are all imprisoned by the insane dancing Lord Flat in a room covered with his grimacing portraits, condemned to live on the droppings from his green-striped tiger who leers at us from a cage. And now, the floor is starting to open.
Some kind of submarine or something coming right out of the floor.
Look, there's someone coming out.
It's a man in a white coat.
Look out! He has a clipboard!
Oh my, this is not the parade. No, is it? Wait a moment. What went wrong? The omnium rarefied at 36 degrees Celsius, creating the sausage-shaped multidirectionality of the longitudinal celestium. No. I forgot the 7 in the man's place.
Excuse me. Hello. You there, down in the hole.
Yeah, well, have that. Oh, hold on a moment. I'm just completing my calculations. A simple error, easily rectified. So.
Who are you?
What are you doing here?
Oh, yes, I am Dr. DeSalle, and I was on my way to the parade when a miscalculation resulted in your appearance before me rather than the parade. Too much omnium, I believe.
Can you help us?
We're stuck here. Take us with you.
Yeah, but perhaps we could go with you.
Oh, my word. A gregarious, burrowing, leopard mammal of extraordinary proportions. Yes, you are the Arctalagus cuniculus species, I believe. Or perhaps, possibly, Lepus europaeus.
Neither. I'm a puka, merely in the shape of Lepus europaeus.
How wonderful. You are all obviously a fantastical hallucination brought on by the gastric compression of the omnium converter. I bid you good day.
No, wait a minute!
We're not hallucinations!
We're real!
Please help us!
We have to escape from this place!
I'm afraid there's no room. There's only room for one occupant in my transporter, you see, but I do have these, which, looking at it logically, I don't mind giving you.
Yeah. Thank you!
Are you? Yeah, good. Oh, so don't thank me. You see, giving things to hallucinations must itself be a hallucination. Therefore, I am not really giving you anything at all.
Yes, well, thanks for not giving us these things.
Oh, you're actually not welcome.
What are they?
These look like a black empty bottle.
No, don't open that. That, my dear, contains
precious black air.
Black air?
Yeah.
You mean darkness?
Indeed, yeah, darkness. Releasing that in a confined space will cause complete darkness. I suspect you may find escaping under its cover much easier, eh?
And what are in these packages? Some kind of clothes?
Clothes? Oh, my, not just any clothes. They are Bunbury suits. One for each of you. Once you put the helmet on, they'll cover your entire body.
And what does a Bunbury suit do?
Do? Oh, it provides you with a false identity. When you are wearing it, you will neither look nor sound at all like yourselves.
Not even I.
Not even you, no. No, you will all be quite different and free to go Bunburying forever you wish under cover of your false identity. Oh my, what? I did not see him there. A green striped tiger. Oh, this is indeed a wonderful psychotic episode. Does your tiger require a Bunbury suit as well?
No, he's not with us.
Ah, I see. Well, best of luck, hallucinations.
Come on! Everyone, get a Bunbury suit, quick!
Ow! It's caught in one of me rings!
Oh, here, let me help you.
Stabby! That tickles!
My sleeves are too short.
Somebody zip up the back of my suit.
Oh, my. Do you know what you look like now?
No. What?
You thought being shaped like a rabbit was strange?
So, what am I now?
Hey, Gertie, which one is you?
Over here. Is that you, Bill?
Yeah, this is me. Hey. Hey, take a look at Cyril.
Brilliant.
What am I? What do I look like? Oh, my.
Oh, shh. Somebody's coming.
Let's put on the helmets.
Okay, get ready to release the black air. It's Lord Flat.
Okay, are we ready to boogie, people?
Now open it, quick.
Hey, hey, who turned on the lights?
Run!
You won't get far, people!
And I was falling apart in a garden way.
And so we escaped and found ourselves in the middle of a large city. The strange doctor was right. Once we put on the Bunbury suits, we were no longer ourselves. And with the rubber helmets stretched over our heads and masking our faces, we did not sound like ourselves either. I sounded like Katharine Hepburn.
The city is so bizarre. Look, this large tourist map sign has three different "You Are Here" arrows on it.
Obviously, logic has no place in this reality.
My muscles, they are pumped from looking so much.
Quiet, Cyril. We must keep looking for the train station.
No, I am Billy. I am now a large muscle robot guy.
Oh, wow. Which one's Billy?
Here I am. I'm Bill. This Bunbury suit is wonderful. I feel so liberated. Just look at my cheekbones.
Where is Cyril?
Oh, here I am. I was just fixing myself up in the shop window.
You were not. You were touching yourself again.
Come on, Cyril. We must find the train station.
You know, I liked you better when you were a rabbit.
I can't help it, Gertie. I never looked so good.
Just remember, underneath that Bunbury suit, you're still a rabbit.
A pooka. I'm a pooka.
You're just a grinning, glowing, globular inhabitant of a carrot patch.
Stop it. Stop arguing and calm down.
I believe the station is over this way. Come on, everyone. Let's make our way through the crowd.
We will have to pass by the parade.
Stop pushing me, Gertie. Be nice.
Keep up, Cyril.
This is so crazy. There's too many people here.
Come on. Stay close behind.
Get out of my way.
Please excuse my companion. He's a stranger here.
I can barely walk in these heels.
Now keep your eyes open, Mary Kate. That tourist that killed your dog is bound to be here. And when I get my hands on him... Oh, sorry. I mean to punch your stomach.
It's okay. I didn't even feel it.
Hey, don't I know you? You're that big movie fella here to open Planet Hollywood.
No, Colin. I heard they were closing that down. Isn't that so?
What are you asking me for?
Excuse us.
Please, help me. I'm lost.
Oh, my. I love your disheveled ghost costume.
Costume? Oh, no. I'm looking for Pembroke Road. But I don't recognize anything here. It has all changed. Everything's different.
Sorry, we are strangers here ourselves.
Well, thank you anyway. Where's Pembroke Road? Children, can you tell me the way?
Hey, you'd better tie your shoes before you trip. Oh, my word, he passed right through those railings. He really was a ghost.
Please, please let us pass Mr. Fancy Dress Clown.
Kind of clown or Amadon? Do I amuse you? I'm an Amadon to make you laugh?
Is it yourself talking to me, huh? Is it yourself talking to me?
We're never gonna get over there.
All right, move along there. Come on now, there's people and bicycles trying to get through here.
Come on now, yeah, heard the sergeant.
Thank you, officer.
Any sign of your man with the vice grips at all?
None at all.
It's like they've vanished.
These suits are great, Cereal.
They didn't recognize us. Let's get up to the front.
Well done, well done. And now, riding on his golden chariot, pulled by the green-striped tiger, is Lord Flat. You'll see several of the Lord Flat short-skirted dancers dancing delightfully behind, passing out free tiger droppings to the children of the underclasses as they go. Yes. Is the float being slowly dragged by the flying monkey eco-warrior Curlers. Well done. The float in the shape of a lying down standing limestone represents the dead weight of our great historical impediment and, yes, is dedicated to the memory of the large fella. Let's hear it for the flying monkey's great job, Lancer, playing the flying.
It's on the far side of the parade route, and there are barriers up all along the way.
Relax, Gertie. Okay, everybody get up on my shoulders, and I will carry you across.
Don't be ridiculous, Billy. You can't carry all of us.
Bill, this Bunbury suit has given me super strength, that of a T-1000. I can walk through anything. Get on.
Well, all right, if you say so.
And here is the Bicycle Cavalcade, who are raising monies for the Atomic Theory Relief Fund.
Here goes. I'm climbing up.
Pick me up, you big, strong, robotic Billy.
Okay.
I could see everything from up here.
Look. Here comes the Citizens Litter Action Committee.
They are tossing free litter.
Well, let's go quickly before they get here. Go, Billy, now.
All right. Hasta la vista, baby.
Guys, would you look at that? The robot is after stopping the parade.
Oh, stop them. No, they're ruining everything. This isn't in the brochure. What will the tourists think? They're raining on my parade.
Oh, my God. This wasn't in the brochure.
Keep going, Billy Hunter. Straight into the train station.
I am walking fast.
I only hope the train is there, Bill.
It better be, Gertie. It better be. Goodbye, fair city. I will always remember you just as you are now.
Right now, Cyril, it's a mob screaming for our blood.
Bantu, Parada, Nicole.
That definitely didn't work. The robot's still walking.
The 514 to Dementia is now boarding on platform 4.
Let's get on that train. Excuse me, can you tell me where is the train that passes through dementia and lunacy?
Of course I can. You could have found it any time, but you wouldn't have believed me. It's right over there. Tread softly.
Tickets, please. Oh, I see. Well, now, those three people you're carrying count as luggage.
Ticket? I don't need no stinking ticket.
Oh, what have you? A student pass?
That's right. I have a student pass, but I forgot it.
All right, so I let it go this time. But in future, you won't forget, now, sure you won't.
No, I won't.
Good man.
Come on, Billy. Just get us on that train.
Here comes the mob clamoring after us.
Look out! Oh, no, Mommy, that wasn't very nice.
Get on.
Yes, this is the same train. That's where I was standing when the creature attacked me and took my phone.
He threw me out of that window.
Shouldn't we find this menacing intelligence, this malignant creature breathing the foul?
Yes, Gertie, we shall. First, let's get out of these bunbury suits.
Yes, and resume our true identities.
Do we have to?
Stop doing that, Cyril. It's not natural.
Look, Mother, strangers, even stranger strangers than usual.
I beg your pardon. You cannot remove your clothing here. It's all right, Aunt Augusta, look.
It's only me.
Oh, my word! It is my nephew, Ernest.
It's Bill.
Bill?
William.
William!
Cousin Billy, you can't.
Come on, everyone. Let's get out of these suits.
Now, William, just look at you. Where have you been?
It's a long story, but my friends and I have managed to sneak onto the train thanks to these Bunbury suits.
Billy, I'm so glad to see you. I'll give you a hug as soon as I get out of this jacket.
Yeah, well, I hope to be gone before then, Algernon.
I'd love to get one of those suits, especially that large, muscular one. Imagine the adventures I'd have dressed in that one.
Yeah, but I don't think it'd be wise to let a psychopath wear a suit which gives him super robotic strength.
We're ready, Bill.
Yeah. Back to our normal selves.
Oh, my. A 6-foot rabbit. Rabbit goes nice with Chianti.
Let's search for the creature.
Right. Leave the suits here, and we'll go straight down the train. Come on, this way.
There doesn't seem to be anything in this carriage.
Hey, look.
What is it?
A baby in a handbag.
A handbag?
A handbag.
A handbag?
A handbag?
A handbag. A handbag?
A handbag.
Ah, look how cute he is. Hello, little fella.
No, no, don't touch him. You know the rules. Don't move suspicious packages. Come on, come on.
But it's a little baby.
Leave it.
Boy.
Bye-bye, baby.
Come on, Cyril.
Let's search this carriage.
Oh, there's some people over there. Let's ask them.
Do you not get it, lads? The Irish are the blacks of Europe. The Zubliners are the blacks of Ireland.
No, no, you are a crazy white man. We blacks are the blacks of Europe.
Excuse me, but have you seen...
Hold on a second. Look, lads, you're just going to have to be something else. Because we get to be black and proud and we have soul.
No, no. You look in the mirror, you sad little white man. You are not black. You did not invent soul. A rock and roll, a funk, a techno, a jazz. You have stolen all these things from Africa. And then you take credit for them.
You do not even know how to move your arms or hips when you dance.
Yeah. Look at your Irish dancing with your wrists bolted to your hips.
You have no idea.
No,
it's no use. They don't know anything.
Okay. Okay, okay, everyone, let's move down to the next carriage.
What's this? The baggage car?
There's nothing here except a bunch of storage boxes.
Shall we move along?
No, no, I have a strange feeling.
So do I.
Yeah, if we're right, it should happen...
right about now.
I can't open it. We're locked in.
Something tells me things
are gonna get worse. Look under the door.
It's some kind of smoke.
It's rising up and forming something.
It's the creature!
He's got the phone.
He's been bigger than me, and I'm 6'3.5".
He's hideous.
Let's get him. Leading you into this.
He's closing in. We're done for.
Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, I love you all.
Anyone called for Cousin Algernon?
Look, Algernon. He's in the muscle robot Bunbury suit.
Get the creature, Algernon.
Why, you... Give me your air hose, your air tank, and your mobile phone. Now you've made me mad.
Sometimes it pays to have a psychopath in the family.
Look at him go!
Hey, he's beating the creature.
Here, Algernon, use my embroidered cloth map. Throw it over the creature's head!
Come on, let's do some sightseeing.
He smashed right through the wall of the train.
And took the creature with him.
Wow.
Hey, hey, the phone, the phone!
Did it go with him?
Is this it?
Oh, what a relief.
Quick, make that call before anything else happens. Come on, come on!
All right, don't rush me. It's ringing.
Hello?
Hello, is this reality?
No, this is my home.
Oh, well, who are you?
I'm Jerry Murphy, who are you?
What did he say?
He says he's Jerry Murphy?
Jerry Murphy, the pose.
You know him?
Of course. He wrote a small fat boy walking backwards and other surrealist poems. Here, let me speak to him. Hello, is that you, Jerry?
It is indeed. Cyril, is that you?
Tis, Jerry.
How are you, by?
Oh, grandeur.
I haven't seen your invisible self in ages. When you're coming to town next, we can meet up for a few jars. All the other pookers have been asking for you.
Have they indeed. Well, look, I'd love to meet you, Jer, but first, we're in a bit of a fix here.
Oh?
Yeah, we're trying to dial through to reality and can't get the vortex to open.
Is that so?
Yeah.
And tell me, is your man fictional?
Hold on, let me ask him. He wants to know if you're fictional.
I don't know.
Tell him yes.
Hello, Jer. Yeah, they think they're fictional.
But if they're dialing in from fiction, you have to dial 001 first.
Oh, no one ever said that.
No, they forget to tell you that.
Oh, there's more of it, sure.
Indeed, so you heard about my new book of poems?
No, I've been away. But tell me all about it.
Well, it's called Extracts from the Lost Logbook of Christopher Columbus, but it has nothing to do with Christopher Columbus, as usual. It's about everything else. How many things did you just ask?
Business is all right.
All right. I haven't caught up with you yet.
No, not yet.
Talk.
I thought the tax numbers were...
Some poet guy named Jerry Murphy.
Come on, Cyril, get out the phone.
We have to make that call.
Sorry, Jer, but I really have to go. Look, I'll ring you when I'm in your dimension.
All right, Cyril. We'll go for a few scoops. See you, bye.
Bye, Jer.
All right, give me that phone.
Dial 001 first.
I am.
Look! What's
everyone. Hold hands.
Right.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready.
Let's jump.
Hello, Lizard and Lizard Detective Agency. How can I help you? No, sir. I don't have an accent. It's you that has the bloody accent.
And so we made that phone call and jumped through the vortex and back into my own dimension.
Yeah, yeah.
My feminine side, Billy, is now my business partner. Her womanly instincts are proving helpful in our detective work.
No.
Gertie the punk is working for us, though nobody around here understands a single word she says.
Hold on a minute, I'm not your wife.
Which is probably just as well.
You tick or something.
And Cyril, the 6-foot-high puka in the shape of a rabbit? Well, we haven't seen him since we made it back. Though sometimes, late at night, I see his silhouette briefly appear, leaning up against a lamppost. He's never been so happy.
Yeah. Who's there? Cyril, none of your tricks now. I know it's you. And stay out of the drinks cabinet. Do you hear?
Cyril!
Hello, Cyril.
What's that? Calm down. What's gotten into you?
Who's following you?
No, it can't be.
It can't be. Not here.
Left it open?
We didn't leave the vortex open. Did we?
You closed it, didn't you?
No, I thought you did.
It's coming under the door.
Here comes everybody.
Quick, quick, where's the phone?
We can make a call and get out of here.
Yeah, yeah, quick, quick, find the phone.
Well, they say one door closes and another one opens. Or in my case, you just forget to close the door.
That episode of Tread Softly, Bill Lizard, written and produced by Roger Gregg, featured the many voices of Dana Davis, Morgan Jones, Derrianne McAvoy, Jonathan Ryan, and Roger Gregg.
This is not Orson Welles, ladies and gentlemen, but an actor in character to assure you that these adventures of Tread Softly, Bill Lizard have little or no significance other than what they were intended to be. Our version of dressing up in green and saying, Konastatu, we annihilated the world before your very ears. You may be relieved to learn we meant it. So goodbye, everybody, and remember, please, that if your doorbell rings and there's nobody there, that was no puka. 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 Well, puka. Probably not, puka. Anyway. Puka. Puka.
Tread softly.
Puka. Puka. Puka.
There's more audio theater to come, but first let's pause for... something.
From atop the formerly tallest building in downtown Minneapolis, you are tuned to 900 red hot watts of community radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and on the web at kfai.org. Radio without boundaries, smoking.
Hey, buddy, did you know you're listening to Sound Effects of Radio Playground on KFAI Fresh Air Radio?
Are. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Stearns, and our second story tonight on Sound Effects is about a young Irish woman named Sally who lives in New York on the 15th floor of her apartment building. Now, sometimes people have an effect on certain kinds of machinery, and sometimes machinery has a certain effect on you. Well, that's true because in the 1920s, when this story takes place, it was unusual to have in your apartment building a way to get to that floor by the elevator.
The Elevator, an original story by April Sadowski.
We join Sally, the daughter of a well-known philanthropist, as she takes one of her music students to her apartment for tutelage.
Here we are again, West 121st and Lenox.
Miss Sally, are we going to take a ride up in the elevator?
I don't know how comfortable I am taking a ride in those newfangled devices.
Oh, but Miss Sally, you have to want to. It's the latest thing since motorized transport.
And those things I'd rather not be in either.
Why not?
What would happen if you got into an accident? They go so terribly fast, and a wholesome buggy collision couldn't be anywhere near as bad as all that bent metal and such, the likes of which come from motorized transport.
Nothing more than a scratch, I would think. You aren't as high up as you would be on a horse.
Too true, my dear boy. At any rate, I would rather not risk it.
Good day, Miss Owens.
Hello, Ralph. Good to see you. How are you doing?
Well, Miss Owens, and yourself?
Oh, I'm quite pleasant at present. How goes your wife and children?
Also doing well, Miss Owens. Our eldest has gotten a job in the factory as a foreman. He's doing fine for himself.
Good to hear.
I shouldn't keep you longer. It's best to get you out of the cold.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, Miss Sally, can't we just please use the elevator? At least just this once.
Will you not cease to be so persistent?
Not hardly, Miss Sally.
Very well.
Good day, Miss Owens. I don't recall seeing you here before today. Are you trying out the elevator for the first time?
Michael wants to ride it. It's not my preference. I think walking up the stairs to be quite healthy exercise. He is carrying his musical instrument in the case, though. It is rather clunky to haul up such a long flight of stairs, you know.
Quite. Now, please, mind the gate and come along.
And so Sally Owens and her student took a ride on the elevator. Sally was not just excellent at music. She also was quite the talent when it came to art. Many had said her portraits looked so lifelike that it was hard to imagine she did them herself by hand. Some thought they were just photographs. Her students were always in awe of her masterful talents. Quite often, she would hire people to give them a chance at something better in life, better than a factory job. The city still talked about the Triangle Fire. As the hours passed, two of those new hires, although unbeknownst to them, were approaching the apartment building that evening. Not sure what to expect or why Sally Owens had taken an interest in them.
I can't imagine why she called us here, brother. I know we aren't poor, but we certainly aren't rich like her either. Maybe she knows I'm an artist too. Obviously not as talented as her. Maybe she wants me to gaze at true artistic perfection.
Come on, we're going to be late. Stop talking.
But...
you want to make a good first impression, don't you?
Of course I do.
Then keep walking.
I can't wait until they put a train in here. I keep hearing they'll put one in. Last I heard, it wouldn't be until 25. It would be so much cheaper for us to ride, and we'd be able to travel faster than motor cars on the road.
I know, Mary.
I know you know. I'm just rambling aloud.
Which you do much too often.
Oh, shush you.
All right.
Well, here we are.
Good day, ma'am. Sir.
Good day, sir.
I've not seen you two before.
Sally Owens sent for us.
Did she now? She's a kind-hearted woman. She's always helping fellow citizens.
Who said she was helping us?
Oh, pardon, sir. I thought by your clothes.
It's all right, we understand. This place is magnificent. Too much for the likes of us. Sure, we have enough means, but not enough to live in a place like this.
Under the care of Miss Sally, perhaps one day.
That would be the goal.
Well, come on in and do take the elevator. I'm sure you'd enjoy it.
You have an elevator.
Sure do, ma'am.
so Mary and her brother Cedric proceeded into the apartment building. They were in awe at the mirrored walls and a giant crystal candelabrum above their heads. As the elevator had been in existence for more than 50 years, it wasn't necessarily a new technological advancement. However, most buildings hadn't had them because they were built pre-invention. As the two entered the elevator, they were greeted by the uniformed lift man.
Where to?
To Sally Owens.
Yeah, sure thing. Mind the gate. It's the 15th floor. We'll get you up in no time at all. Is this your first time on an elevator?
Yes, sir.
You are in for quite a treat, then.
Oh, my.
Yes, it gives you an odd sensation. You know, I was a pilot in the Great War, and sometimes it makes me feel like I'm flying, if only for a little while.
You were in the Great War.
Yes, sir. I spent a great deal of time in France. That-a-way, ma'am. Sally's will be the first door on the left.
Tank. Oh, he's already going back down.
Do you hear that?
It sounds like she is entertaining some guests. Why would she have us there if she has guests? I'm certainly not dressed for a dinner party. I'm also not born well enough not to make a fool of myself.
I don't know, Mary. I think we shall soon enough know.
Yes, let's go in then.
As soon as the two Irish siblings entered the room, they both gasped in surprise. Sally's guests were mostly upper middle class, as much as the two could tell from the clothing the others wore. She had a gallery of art to their left, and the room they had entered was very large and impressive. The walls were yellow, and the floor tiled. There were massive shelves in the room that housed some of Sally's sculptures and ceramic pieces.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yes. The paintings are truly magnificent. I see some that are self-portraits, but they look so real.
As if you were looking at her through a mirror.
And you see this one? It's a reflection of herself. It looks like actual light is flowing in. But it's paint. How does she make it look as though the sun crept onto it?
I don't know. What?
Look at those dresses.
Oh, my. I wonder why she decided to hang them up on the walls, as though they were art as well. I do love the silk ball gown with that white lace and gold embroidery and purple velvet shawl. They look orderly.
It's like a museum in here.
It might be. My father has died, you see, and I've kept it secret for quite some time. He had a great debt to pay, and it was all done for. His entire empire. All I have left is this apartment and whatever is in it. Therefore, I've hardly a cent to my name. I could, of course, auction these pieces off, but I couldn't live without my work surrounding me. They're like my children in a way. I invited the two of you here because I need someone to look after my apartment for me while I work. I'm going to have to find a job to afford my lifestyle, which isn't as extravagant as it used to. I have taken music students, but it isn't enough. The owners of this complex, however, assure me that if I can pay only a quarter of what the rent would typically cost, then I can keep it as long as I like. I'm looking for someone who can bring up food for me, watch my paintings, and keep the apartment in order as much as possible. If you accept, you can live here free of charge.
Sounds too good to be true.
Free rent?
Fine.
We'll do it.
Thank you, friends, for offering to so quickly help me. Once my guests disperse, I will set you on your first assignment as I try to find a job.
As the guests left, a painting came into view. It was a large painting of Sally, but no one thought Sally had painted it because it didn't look real. Real as if she could step out of the frame at any moment, as her other ones did. The two siblings looked at it from a distance, but didn't bother to ask Sally who had done it, for she interrupted their thoughts.
You may go where you like while I look for a job. I only ask that you bring up some meat from the lobby when I return. The clerk will know where it is. Here is the key to the apartment. I will be writing correspondences presently. I shall see you when you return. I would assume you'd need to get some belongings together to accommodate for your stay here. You can take these champagne glasses down with you. The apartment's restaurant was so kind to provide me with them.
Cedric, let's go on the elevator again.
Sure.
Excuse us.
Mind the step.
Mary and Cedric both were mortified as they tripped upon entering. Excess liquid from the glasses had splashed upon the passengers. To their luck, nothing broke. Instead of yelling at the two Irish people, they laughed heartily at each other. Mary and Cedric were puzzled, but decided to laugh along with them. The uniformed lift man didn't show a hint of emotion, as if this sort of thing happened all of the time.
Once you get down to lobby level, please get something to clean up the mess that you've made.
Yes, sir.
Mind the gate.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
I was even watching where I was going.
We both tripped at the same time. I can't explain it.
Are you sure you want to ride on the way up?
Do you really want to walk up 15 flights of stairs?
No, not really.
Then we're going back up on it when we get those meats.
I forgot. Did Sally tell us where they were?
The clerk.
Oh, yes. Well, then let's go to the front desk. May I help you? Sally told us to get the meats.
Right away.
That is quite a lot of meat.
You do know why she asked for them, don't you?
No.
You might want to ask her then.
Oh, we have spilled some champagne in the elevator. The lift man said we should get something to clean it up. Do you have any towels we could use?
Usually that is a job for our maids, but they have taken off for the night.
You have no after-hour maid service.
We used to before the Great War. We are starting to get back to our workforce. I'll be right back as I fetch the towels for you.
Why do I get this feeling that someone's keeping a secret from us?
You get that feeling as well.
Ever since we got here, I just didn't want to mention it. I didn't want to upset you.
You've done a fine job of that already.
Come on, that's hardly fair.
I'm just saying how I feel. I wasn't sold on the idea of helping Sally. I mean, I wanted to help her, but what she was offering.
What else could we do? Mother and father are dependent on us to bring in money for the rest of the family. We can't just sit by and do absolutely nothing.
But she didn't mention anything about us getting paid.
Stepping stones, Mary. Let this lead to bigger and better things. Sally is well known and respected. Having her on your memorandum.
True. I hadn't thought of that.
I did.
Here are a few towels I found. I took the liberty to wetting one, so hopefully you can dilute what had spilled.
Thank you.
I'll get the cart later. I think we should clean up first.
At least he was accommodating.
Indeed. Can you get the button for the elevator?
Yes. One moment.
Mind the gate.
We will. And the step.
You can clean up while I leave the elevator down here. When you go take the towels back to wherever you got them from, I'll be on my way back down. I have a buzz from a higher floor, and I don't want to keep them delayed too long.
We'll be fast. Hand me the wet towel. I'll apply and you can use your towel to dry.
Okay.
I don't think scrubbing is the way to go about this. I do believe that if you were to do that, you would just set any stains in further. Try and mop it up instead.
As the two siblings cleaned up as best they could, Miss Sally Owens was looking into what could possibly be taking so long. She had since exited her apartment and was waiting at the elevator for the lift man. She tapped her fingers against her bare-crossed arms, waiting impatiently. She was also quite hesitant to take a ride on the elevator again, but she feared she would miss the two if she took the stairs. She could tell Cedric enjoyed it and knew he'd want to ride on it again. Eventually, the elevator made its way up to floor 15, and the doors opened for her.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Have you seen two people, a girl and a boy? They're teenagers, I think. They are in my employ.
Yeah, they're in the lobby.
Do you know what's keeping them?
Perhaps you should come down with me and ask him yourself.
Now, there's no reason to be cryptic. What happened?
We accidentally tripped and splashed champagne inside the elevator. We cleaned up the mess, though, and we are ready to pick up the meat cart.
It doesn't matter. I won't have any guests coming in now. I found a job. It isn't much pay, but it will be good enough for me.
What is it?
I will be a receptionist for a construction business. They had openings for roofers, and when I went there to see if there was other work, they suggested the desk job. They were extremely desperate for dependable help. You two should go on up with the meat. I'll follow you up.
Sally and the two siblings made their way into the elevator, and the whole way up, Mary was in thought. She wondered why this woman would have need for a whole cartload of meat in her room. Once the elevator reached floor 15, the gates opened, and no one tripped while exiting, much to the relief of the two Irish people. They followed Sally to her room as the lift man made his way back down. They entered the room and saw a pile of bread and cheese.
I make sandwiches right now, if you were wondering. It's why I needed the meat. The landlord has parties a lot, and they've entrusted the catering to me. They supply me with goods, and I provide them with the finished product. They said I could use part of that to pay my way, but it wasn't enough to cover all of my necessities, so that is why I needed to secure a job.
The first day working for Sally was a dream to Mary and her brother. They expected to find a princess, only to discover a poor woman struggling to keep her legacy alive. All the while, Mary seemed to hear people singing in her head, only when she traveled on the elevator. They sounded sad, but she couldn't make out anything more. As the years passed, the trio managed to have fun and Sally kept painting. She finished a painting every 5 years and eventually made enough money for the two to move on in their lives. Mary had caught the eye of a well-born man who didn't mind indulging her to every convenience that could be afforded. Cedric moved forward as the manager of the very same building that housed Sally. When Mary was old enough to have grandchildren, she would tell them about the fabulous parties held at the house of Sally Owens and that enjoyable elevator. It was in those years that Mary was invited back for a party, along with her husband.
Mind the gate, ma'am.
Thank you, sir.
Now, where to?
Sally Owens, please. Floor 15.
Right away.
Thank you, sir.
Why, Mary, what a pleasant surprise. You've brought along your dashing husband, Frank.
I'm really glad to see you're doing well, Sally.
Oh, Frank, you know I wouldn't be doing well if it weren't for Mary's assistance years ago.
I know, but I'm still glad you're back on your feet. Remember, I was a friend of your father's.
He never mentioned his friends much, like anything else.
You know I would have helped you if I knew. He was very secretive about anything relating to his personal life.
As am I.
We shouldn't keep you. We can socialize while you see to your other guests.
Mary, you're the guest of honor.
I am?
A little surprise I kept from you, dear.
I would have had Cedric as well, but he couldn't make it. Quite a shame, I should say. Here, let me introduce you to my friends. I'm sure they would love to meet you.
I recognize some of them from other parties you have held.
Yes, but you weren't married to me then. They will acknowledge you now, and probably not even remember you from before.
Truly?
Unfortunately, such is the way of the world. I do not like it, but it is what it is, and I must follow.
Mary, let's not argue. Sally, please, proceed.
And so, Sally showed off Mary to her guests, and they had a lovely night, all things considered. When Mary left the party, she took a glass of punch along with her and punched the button for the elevator. It opened, and as Mary entered with her husband, she tripped, splashing punch all over a crowd of younger folks. The punch flew over the elevator interior, and Mary was washed in the recollection of her younger days when she tripped with her brother Cedric. As time had begun to pass, New York started to reach for the sky as Mary grew old. As she approached the old building, now turned hotel, she made her way into it. She wanted one last look at Sally Owen's apartment, which had been in her care since her passing. She was notified of a break-in a few weeks prior, but wasn't able to check into it until this very day. She made her way slowly with the help of a cane into the building, which had developed into its own work of art. There were escalators everywhere and massive elevators. Those didn't impress her. She was still entranced with the little elevator she remembered. She saw it, almost hidden behind a large potted tree. It was marked as a service elevator. It was hard for Mary to believe it once held glamorous partygoers and millionaires, yet here she was, one of those millionaires ready to take a ride. She gulped down a drink from a water bottle she had been toting around with her. She pressed the button for the elevator, and a uniformed man opened the gate.
Where would you like to go, ma'am? This is a service elevator, but if you're keen on the historic aspect of traveling in it, I'd be happy to oblige.
To Sally Owens.
The world goes white for Mary as she trips into the elevator. She can hear the people singing, but this time, she can make out the words. They say, look to the ceiling, look to the floor, get out of the door, and you're on me once more. The world is bathed in color again as the elevator doors open and Mary walks out. She makes a left down to Sally Owens' apartment, the hallway dark and unused, apparently being prepped for a remodel. The door to Sally's apartment is ajar and Mary walks in. The tiles to the floor are gone. Gray cement peeks out from underneath. The walls are stripped of decorations. The tables are upside down. And Mary notices a dusty painting leaning against one. She turns it over to see a large portrait of Sally that someone painted. It was ripped, and a long tear splits her face in two.
Sally.
As Mary smooths the canvas up to connect the two pieces of her face, she turns to the room that once held her beloved paintings. She gets up, turning to one solitary painting. As Mary looks at it, the painting Sally did of herself, she notices movement. Sally moves from the canvas and walks out of the painting. She beckons for Mary to follow her into the painting. Mary does not hesitate. And once she does, she sees that they are back in the 1920s. She sees familiar faces, including a youthful Sally, and her brother, and her late husband, Frank.
Welcome back, Mary.
The Elevator was written and produced by April Sadowski. The voice actors you have been listening to are as follows. Stephanie Davis as Mary. Seth Jones as Cedric and Clerk. Nicole Wilkes as Sally. David Botcher and Jason Bertuccio as the Liftman. Glenn Haskell as the Doorman and Narrator. Seth Bramwell as Michael. Rip Elliott as Frank. And myself, April Sadowski, as the female guest. Thanks for listening.
The elevator comes to us from Another Audio. That's NOTHER.US. It's the domain of April Sadowski, who, besides being a voice actor and writer, is a graphic artist and web designer. Quite accomplished. I'm Jerry Stearns, and you are listening to Sound Effects, a radio playground, where each Sunday night we bring you the best in modern audio theater, such as we have tonight. I hope you'll join us again next Sunday night for more in that realm, because this is Sound Effects, a radio playground, and radio play is what we have available every week. If you want to find out what we're planning to play in the future, you can go to greatnorthernaudio.com. On the left, there's a link to Sound Effects on KFAI, and there you'll find a schedule for what we know of coming up in the future. If you missed the first part of the show and want to hear it again, you can go back to kfai.org. Look in the schedule for Sound Effects, a radio playground, Sunday night at 9:30, and there you can find archives of this week's show and last week's show. But better do it, because they're only there for 2 weeks. I hope you'll stick around now, because Abby's Room for One is coming up next. That's Music Till Midnight. Sound Effects, a radio playground. The best in audio theater, comedy, and the audio arts. A medium where almost everything is left to your imagination.
Whether you call it a garage sale, tag sale, rummage sale, yard sale, thrift sale, lawn sale, flea market, street market, or so good you can't compete market, you need customers. That's why you should partner with KFAI to promote your garage sale as part of the KFAI Garage Sale Tour. KFAI will help promote your garage sale, and you donate a portion of the proceeds. Just go to kfai.org/garage sale for details. Be a part of the KFAI Garage Sale Tour and help support non-commercial, community-powered radio. Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting four bands in one night for the Minneapolis Mega Show 2 at the 7th Street Entry, Saturday, July 5th.
Minneapolis Mega Show 2 will include Space Monkey Mafia and their ska punk infused sound, BYO Brass's jazz, house, and hip hop influences on their latest release, Breathe, Beneath Green with their 7-piece classic rock influenced groove, and Dilly Dally Alley with their jazz, punk, techno, hyper pop genre blending interactive performance.
More information for the Minneapolis Mega Show 2 at the 7th Street Entry is available at first-avenue.com.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFAI program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.
Sometimes you get what you need.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, going out to the stratosphere, or on the web at www.kfai.org, where you can catch this train wreck for the next 2 weeks. It's archived. This is Abby's Room for One Radio. You're at the end of your week, or the beginning of the next one, or somewhere in the middle, because our work weeks never end. But rock, well, that never dies. Here's some stuff. She hasn't got a heart and she hasn't got a soul. Say that she is not the heart of one. Well, I pulled her over once or twice, I handed me a whisper, there's a horrible man, her whole life. All right, Abby's Room for One Radio here on KFAI, and looks like we've stepped into yet another.